Welcome, everyone. Melinda Zarate with Emboldened Heart here. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today. You are in for a treat. I want to welcome anyone who's here listening for the first time and let you know that Emboldened Heart is an online global training academy focused on heart-based living and personal transformation. And one of my favorite things to do is to interview guest speakers who bring us information about healing approaches, visionary ways of living, transformation, and today's guest I am so excited to have with us. We have with us today Dr. Eric Pearl, who is actually the person who developed what is called the Reconnection and Reconnective Healing. And I want to share just a little bit about Dr. Pearl. They say your life can change overnight, and that was certainly true for Dr. Pearl. He says, one day I was a chiropractor, and the next day I was something else. Overnight, Dr. Pearl had found the ability to connect with energy and work with it to heal people. And today, this is known worldwide as reconnective healing. Now supported and recognized by science, reconnective healing facilitates healings for people that are often instantaneous and can last a lifetime. And Dr. Pearl, feeling compelled to teach others, his work now has taken him to over 100 countries and has impacted millions of people. And it's his hope that one day everyone will learn to use this natural ability to heal themselves and others. He's a published author. He's written a book called The Reconnection. And Dr. Pearl has been featured in top media, including The Dr. Oz Show, The New York Times, and CNN. And his book, The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself, is now available in 39 languages and has been endorsed by such notable people as Deepak Chopra, MD. So I am, as I mentioned, particularly excited to welcome Dr. Pearl, and I'll tell you why. I actually experienced the reconnection and reconnective healing myself, and I have had some pretty wonderful changes and results, and I can tell that it's continuing to make a difference for me and will continue to do so. So we'll talk about this much more and you'll learn a lot. Dr. Pearl, welcome.
Hey, well, thank you for having me on your program.
I am so honored to have you here, and I know that my listeners will really benefit from this. I want to just share with those of you listening that one of my commitments was to be sure that anyone that I brought as a guest speaker who was going to share information about their work, I promised myself and my listeners that I have to have had an experience of the work personally, or have, you know, read the book, or have had to benefited personally in some way, in such a way that I feel my listeners will also benefit. And so the reconnective healing experience for me has been remarkable. And so it's interesting. It's different. Most of you listeners are familiar with energetic healing approaches and the like, but this one is different. And so I was just thrilled to have Dr. Pearl come to tell us about it. So, Dr. Pearl, what is reconnective healing?
Well, reconnective healing is I like to think of it as a new level of healing, at least according to the researchers who are studying it. Many of them feel it accesses for us healing aspects of light and even what they call information that they have not witnessed on this planet before. I mean, it starts with energy. Everything here, obviously, is energy. You're energy. I'm energy. The floors and walls are furniture. Everything's energy. But
yes,
apparently, we are expanding in the field in which we live and in which we occupy. For example, we've been living in a huge, endless, beginningless, formless, multidimensional universe. And yet, we've only been occupying approximately four dimensions of it, height, width, depth, and time. And that's been like, you can imagine it pictured as a giant bubble or a balloon of energy. The outside of the wall, the part of the balloon you can touch, is height, width, depth, and time, and the inside has been energy. And our energy healing approaches have been accessing us different portions of this energy. The part that we call Reiki, the part that we call Qigong, the part that we call Jin Shin, or Alpha, Beta, Delta, Gamma, or Quantum This, or Mattress That. There are different subsets of the entirety of the energy within which we exist. We access them through different techniques. They feel different. They do different things. But the thing about reconnective healing is that it is not an energy healing technique. The world does not need another energy healing technique, thank goodness, because I'm not here to teach one. It's really a way for us to transcend the training wheels of our energy healing techniques, to access the entirety of the energy that's been here, and then we get to access more. Now, how is it we get to access more than the parts of the energy we've had is by letting go of technique. How we get to access more of energy itself is by letting go of technique, because today we're living in a time where time itself is actually moving faster, not just faster in a linear fashion from point A to point B, but time is actually expanding. It's moving in all directions at once. So if you picture that balloon in which we exist, that balloon of height, width, depth, and time expanding, well, obviously as the balloon expands, it becomes more thin, more sheer, more permeable, and suddenly we're able to interact with what's been not available to us before, because it's been outside of our balloon of time. It is new here because it's actually timeless, and it's the first time we're accessing timeless here. It's not something from a memory or a dream or a past life, but it's something here the first time for us, and it brings us into different levels of harmony and balance in our lives, not just physically, definitely physically. I mean, healing is not just, but it does tend to include regaining the use of arms, legs, liver, kidney, smell, taste, vision. But healing is also life progress. It's an advancement overall in our personal relationships, in our work relationships. Our career evolves to a certain point in time so rapidly that sometimes we turn around, we look back, and we say, how did I ever get here? Because at first it doesn't make sense until we look at it and say, this is the logical progression. It might just have taken us a few more lifetimes to have gotten here than what has happened. So we are really connecting with our advanced, evolved, timeless selves with reconnective healing.
That's so exciting. Amazing. So I have to ask, yeah, no kidding. I have to ask, for those of us who are sort of technique geeks, who have been exposed to, you know, methods and steps and all of those, you know, data bites that we've feel we need in order to learn something or do something. How can this be technique-less?
You know, it's a good question, and the funny thing is we are raised so linearly that even the question of how is looking for a technique. Right?
Well, I have to admit
that's
true.
You got that before I even said it, right?
Right.
Very odd. Well, let me tell you how I found it first, and then that might
Great.
Give us the beginning of a clue.
Okay.
I had practiced as a doctor of chiropractic for 12 years when one night a few strange things happened. I was awakened in the middle of the night by a very bright light. I opened my eyes to see what it was, and it wasn't a vision of Mother Mary or someone in my room. It was just the lamp next to my bed, and somehow managed to turn itself on. Now, I had had that lamp for a good 10 years. It hadn't selected any other propitious occasion to self-ignite, but there it was. And my bedroom door was open, which was closed when I'd gone to sleep. So, you know, your first thoughts and feelings, and I definitely felt as if someone was here. I wondered if someone had broken into my house. I got up, I grabbed a knife and an old empty can of pepper spray, probably from a self-defense course I must have taken a decade and a half prior, but hopefully it made me look intimidating. And my Doberman pincher, who was a lot friendlier than I wanted anyone at that moment to realize. And we went hunting through the house. After about 15, 20 minutes of not finding anyone, I decided it was my imagination. And I went back to bed, even though it still felt as if someone was in my home. I just went back to sleep. That Monday, when I went into my office, seven of my patients, independently of one another, out of the blue, seemingly, after I would adjust them chiropractically, I'd have them relax with their eyes closed for a moment. When they opened their eyes, they told me that they felt someone walk into the room, stand in the room, walk around the room, wander around the chiropractic table, and no one had ever said that to me before. So seven people in one day, well, that sort of got my attention.
Right.
Anyhow, as that progressed, I was simultaneously noticing that I was feeling sensations in my patient's hands. And when I would remove my hands from my patients, I would still feel these feelings. And while they were lying there with their eyes closed, relaxed, I caught myself sort of playing with my hands a little bit, trying to figure out what these feelings were. And I began to observe that the more I played with these sensations, actually sort of moved them around my patient or stretched them away, the more their bodies went into involuntary movements. Their fingers would move, their arms and legs would jump, their eyes would rapidly dart back and forth, facial muscles would twitch, it would pull at their lips or their eyebrows. When they opened their eyes, they started telling me they were seeing flowers they'd never, smelling flowers they'd never smelled. They were seeing colors they'd never seen. And they started reporting real healing. So we're getting up out of wheelchairs, demonstrating healing, some of them, showing me that their color blindness had disappeared, or kids who had cerebral palsy or epilepsy were walking and running and playing. Their parents would call, their doctors would call days later asking what I had done because they didn't have seizures any longer. They weren't needing their medications. People were showing up in the hospitals for surgeries, large and small, and the thing that needed to be removed, for example, had suddenly vanished. Doctors started asking what I had done. I know. People would ask me what I had done, and I said, I didn't do anything, and don't tell anybody. Well, try to tell someone not to tell anybody, because the more you say don't tell anybody, right, the more everyone talks. And soon people are calling me up from everywhere saying, I want the same thing. And as I let them experience it, more people started asking me to teach it. And I said, I really don't think that's possible at all. I mean, A, I would have to understand it to teach it. And B, it seems to be something that just appeared one moment. It's, you know, the way we view a gift like that is that the gift is something that's within us, not re-givable. But I found out as more and more of my clients, my patients would call me. They said they drove home from my office. They pulled up in front of their house. Their automatic garage door started to open and close repeatedly by itself. They went inside their house. Their lamps and television started turning off and on. They were feeling kinesthetic sensations in their hands. They would hold their hands near a friend or a family member, and those people started having healings. And we began quite early on and clearly to recognize what the research studies have now confirmed is that once we interact with what today science actually calls the reconnective healing frequencies or the reconnective healing spectrum of healing frequencies, once we interact with us, it changes and evolves us in such a way that we're not only able access our own healings, but once we learn how to become really familiar with this, we are able to facilitate healings for others as well.
How wonderful.
And guess
oh,
what?
Oh, goodness.
There was no technique that happened, was there? All I did was observe. I played with the feelings that I had in my hands. I observed, I witnessed them without intending them to do something specific, without trying to have the spiritual audacity to tell them what form the healing should take and in what form it should come and how it should happen. I didn't do anything from this. But you can't, it's hard. How can I say this? It's hard for a lot of people who do things a certain way not to want you to do them the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Some people were coming in saying to me, I need to do exercises to do this and to do that, because they've been doing all these exercises and they don't know why these healings are happening so automatically through me, and I haven't been doing the work or the different things they wanted. And they started telling me, you know, where I should place flowers in the room and which crystals should be there and what statues and when to move my hands clockwise or counterclockwise and what symbols to use and what protections to use. And I thought, I mean, logically, what else was there to think, that all these people were knew what they were talking about, because many of them were world-renowned, famous healers, and others were more local, but they were considered quite respected and successful. And I found that the more of these steps and procedures and protections that I implemented, the healings became less and less and less and less and less, until finally I got to a point that every time I began to recognize that when we try to do a step, we are so focused on doing it right that we have a subliminal fear of, what if I do it wrong? Every time we protect ourselves with something pretty, such as flowers, it looks pretty on the outside, like love wrapping paper. But when we unwrap the package, we find we're protecting ourselves from something that means that we're functioning in a state of fear, something we're afraid of. And as I let go of the part of the mind that wanted to come from the need to control and direct and protect, which is really the fear-based half of, you know, our perspectives, I stepped more into a willingness to be in freedom and light and love, and allowing myself to merely be the witness and the witnessed, the seer and the seen, the observer and the observed, without judgment. And the more we stepped out of directing and controlling into the freedom of being willing to observe and trust that our minds don't necessarily know the optimal form for the healing for that person, but if we step back and observe, we'll find the perfection of, call it God or love or the infinite field of potential, zero-point field, whatever you want to call it, really not only knows what's going on, but it's willing to orchestrate the entire process before our very eyes. And that becomes a far greater reward than being able to run around and say, look at the healing I just did.
Yes, I am so glad that you made that point. I want to take just a moment. I did get a comment that came in from someone that they were having trouble hearing us on the webcast, but it may have been early, and I did have everyone muted for just a moment as we were getting started. So listeners, if you would be kind enough, if you're on the webcast, to just let me know that you're able to hear us okay. I'm not seeing any signals or indications that it should not be working properly. But I, too, have experienced technical gremlins when I began talking about things such as this. So if someone would just let me know you can hear us okay, pop it into the Q&A,
yeah, let us
and I'll
know
check
if,
it.
Actually, if you had difficulty hearing this in the beginning, let us know. Say I'm still having difficulty or it's improved, because then maybe I can try and shift something from this end if I need to.
Okay, great. All right. So one of the things that I really was fascinated about with this reconnection and reconnective healing is how simple it does seem. It really, and I love things to be sort of, yeah, they're hearing us fine. Everybody hears us fine. Yeah, I'm getting a whole bunch of people telling us everything's good. Yeah. So I like things to be quick and easy and simple. And I don't expect them to be simple. They can be complex. I just like to experience them as simple and efficient. And that's
well, I don't
one of the
think
things
that's so far off. I know, really. I honestly believe what I've discovered over time, at least in the energy healing world, is that the more complexity and the more detail with which one explains how their healing process or procedure or the overall function works, the less accurate and the less in harmony with truth they tend to be. Truth is a simple elegance or an elegant simplicity.
Yeah. I agree. And I do appreciate so much that that is the way the reconnection and reconnective healing is experienced, certainly by me, even though I can see the layers of change that have occurred. And I'd like to just take a second to sort of share with the listeners some of the things that I've experienced. And I had the reconnection in June, early June, so it's been a couple of months. And one of the things that I noticed pretty quickly was that I began to really just make these decisions to do things that I don't normally do every day, like sing. I have decided that I need to sing every day, and my voice, my singing voice, has gotten stronger and stronger, and that's so fun and cool, and it's just like, wow, what was I waiting for? Also, I have had some really fun and interesting things that have just suddenly shown up that have given my business kind of a big boost. You know, someone asked me to speak on a radio program recently, and now it looks like that segment is going to go to BBC. Things like that, it's just like, what? I would have never thought of that. You know, I would have just been sort of trying to figure it out, plugging away, trying to figure it out with my mind, you know, and certainly doing all the other kind of woo-woo things I do because they're fun. I like them. But it's just fascinating, the difference. And also, I love movement, and it gives me a lot of joy to dance. And I've been asked to teach a NEA class for the first time in years, and it's just like, yeah, I'm going to do that. So it just, what has happened for me was exactly what you sort of shared at the beginning, is that things just begin to unfold in new ways, and kind of looking back, I'm kind of going, I didn't want to do that, and why hadn't I done it before, but now I'm doing it, and it makes sense. So the reconnection is a remarkable experience, and when I had the reconnection, which is, it's two sessions, I got up from the table and I felt pretty good, and it had been interesting, and then I just kind of went about my life, and then things started changing. So it's very cool and surprising sometimes. So I just felt like I wanted to share that, and who knows what new and interesting and fun surprises are getting ready to show up for me next.
Well, if you did know, they wouldn't be surprises.
Exactly.
Well,
so,
you know,
go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, with life progress, I mean, first of all, reconnective healing is the fastest growing and scientifically supported form of energy health care today. That is very exciting in many ways. It's personally exciting because the point is you wake up one morning, you do a little something or something unusual happens, you don't see where that could possibly take you, you know.
Right.
I mean, I go into my little office in Los Angeles at the time, hold my hands near my patients, their eyes twitch a little or their fingers or something happens, you know. And today, reconnective healing is the fastest growing, scientifically supported form of energy healthcare. What it is, it's an approach, as we started to say, to overall life progress, which you are talking about, with
mm-hmm.
gifts that include mental clarity, emotional stability, renewed youthfulness. You not only feel differently and younger, you carry yourself differently, and what you might start to notice if you haven't already is people start to ask you if you've done something because you start looking 10, 15, 20 years younger. At least this is what happens with many of our teaching assistants who are really working with these frequencies regularly.
Yeah.
Your relationships personally and professionally change. Listen, your libido becomes better, and that's not such a bad thing, let's face it, at a certain point in time.
Right.
There's resolutions of health issues, all sorts of things that go on. But you see, you're showing us. Do you ride a bicycle? Did you learn with training wheels?
I did.
Okay, I did too. So, training wheels were a wonderful gift. They helped our parents or whoever helped us begin to find our gravity, our balance, I should say, on the bicycle. And, you know, we set out to master the bicycle with training wheels. And once we mastered the bicycle with training wheels, thank God we had parents who, even though we might have been a little bit afraid at the moment, told us when it was time to remove the training wheels. Because the true gift of those training wheels, the gorgeous gift of those training wheels, became our gift only once we removed them. So what's been happening in the energy healing world is we've been mastering the training wheels of technique. We've mastered this set of training wheels and that set of training wheels, this technique, that technique, the other, the other, the other. We have our certificates on our walls, which causes our egos to buy into the value of those training wheels all the more. But the teachers have forgotten to tell us in the energy healing field to take the training wheels off. Somehow or other, internally, our internal truth knows that we don't need to lock ourselves into technique any longer. So as you experience the reconnection, your training wheels fell off of your bicycle, and you started to ride, and that's what you've been sharing with us today.
I love it. Yeah, that's a great analogy. Thank you. Makes so much sense. And what I also love about this is that this is something that anyone can learn. And that's one of the questions that people have posed to me is like, well, you know, do people with a background in, you know, in Reiki or energy work or healing arts or medicine or something, do they have to be the ones? And the answer is no. The woman who actually did the reconnection for me was raised in the military. She was a military brat, and then she became an engineer. And I don't know about you, Dr. Pearl, but most of the engineers I know really would just look at this kind of thing and go, no. But what's great is there's so much science now to back it up.
Yeah, the guy who I had come in and for many years was in charge or managing, you could say, previously the executive director of Reconnective Healing, came from an engineering background as well. Many engineers come in to learn this work because today, we are no longer confusing science and spirituality as being unrelated or opposite camps. I mean, you know, there was a time we viewed it that way. There was a time when science and religion and government were all intertwined into one, and everyone thought that the universe revolved around the earth. And Galileo discovered that the earth revolves around the sun instead, and they locked him away, and science and religion began to attempt to walk in opposite directions. And they thought they could because, let's face it, we even thought the earth was flat. So they started walking in seemingly opposite directions, but science started to move from the understanding of things that everything's separate and distinct to recognizing that everything is in relativity to discovering quantum physics into consciousness, into truth. And religion, people started having enough sometimes of the superficiality and the disguise on the techniques, the rules, the demands of organized religion, and they started looking underneath the skirt and the smoke to rediscover the spirituality that inspired religion. And they started walking in what they thought was an opposite direction from science. But as you see, the earth wasn't flat, it was round, and the further away they walked from each other, the further away they actually returned to each other, carrying gifts of support for one another. So it's really quite key. There are many, many, many studies on reconnective healing that have now that demonstrate what we started to recognize in the very beginning. First of all, I mean, for example, University of Arizona published a study not so long ago where they found that just minutes of reconnective healing was more than twice as effective as physical therapy in restoring range of motion to the limbs of the body.
Wow.
Multiple studies have been done with DNA, human DNA, animal DNA, and plant DNA, showing that once you interact with the reconnective healing frequencies, something changes and it restructures. I like to say it reconnects, but you know, mm-hmm. I'll say it restructures our DNA in a certain way that it changes the level of light that we emit. So the first question people are listening is going, what do you mean light that we emit? Because we think of being light as just a spiritual or a metaphysical concept. But the truth is the work of Dr. Fritz Albert Popp in Germany and others continuing his work demonstrate in scientific laboratories that the DNA in each of our cells actually emits specific levels of light. And it's generally recognized that as our health diminishes, that light level measurably becomes dimmer. As our health comes back up, that light rises back up. But the interaction with the reconnective healing frequencies has been shown consistently to not only raise, or maybe we should say optimize, the level of light that we emit, but it also makes it more what the researchers call coherent, which they explain coherence in light. They say, think of it as harmony. It makes the light more harmonic. Now, what's interesting about light is that we used to believe that the body heals through biochemicals. But today, the biochemical model is pretty much considered as obsolete. Today, we understand biochemicals, of course, play a role. But the model, the overriding and overarching concept of the model is light. So today, it's called the light model. Light explains things the biochemical model couldn't explain. The biochemical model took time to produce biochemicals and to send them and get them to travel to places. Light waves are everywhere simultaneously. So what is it when we fall away from perfect health? It's that we really enter into a less than harmonic state. We go into a disharmony. And what reconnective healing does is it reharmonizes the light in the communication. Anything out of harmony with that light pretty much has nothing left to grasp onto. So our disharmonies fall away, or you could say anything denser than light has very little to hold onto. So the densities fall away. Anything in the way of darkness doesn't tend to exist at that same level because darkness doesn't exist anyway. Darkness is an absence of light. So as we have more harmonic light in our body, our bodies function at a higher level, and if you want to get just a little bit more, shall we say, esoteric or a little bit more into an interesting metaphor, rebalancing, vibrating at our natural level of light is really returning to our optimal level of truth. And when we vibrate at our level of truth, our untruths vibrate out of the system. And part of what is not our truth is to be less than perfectly, harmonically, and functionally healthy.
Oh, that's so exciting. Wow. Oh, so we've talked about two different things. We've talked about the reconnective healing and also the reconnection. And I'm sure people are asking the question in their minds, what's the difference between the two?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now. I will explain it to you fairly simply, but it's not going to fully answer the question, because what the distinction has subtlety, layer, and takes a while to seep in and to get the perspective of it. But let me try.
Okay.
In simplest form, both the process we call the reconnection and what is called reconnective healing, both have to do with an overlaying component of reconnecting. What are we reconnecting with? We're reconnecting with our optimal self. What I say is part of the essence of who we are that we tend to more consciously experience in between lifetimes. If you talk to someone who's had a life after death or a near-death experience, they often come back trying to explain the love and the fullness and the awareness and the consciousness that they experience there, and it's hard to. But the reconnection and reconnective healing, I believe, tend to allow us to vibrate at that level and then to bring that vibration, that consciousness, that existence to a greater level into our lifetimes here in this four-dimensional existence. If I were going to attempt to draw a distinction between the two, reconnective healing is more about healing, and the reconnection is more about throwing our lives on to our intended life path, probably a lot more rapidly than we may have had in mind or even thought possible. But
okay,
there's an overlap. So imagine two circles that overlap each other, like the Olympic rings, you know, a Venn diagram. There's
sure.
One is more to the left, one is more to the right. So one might be yellow and one might be blue, but where they overlap, there's a green. So there is an overlap. There is an expansion. Reconnective healing is very free form and natural. You can have one or two or three sessions. We don't recommend that you have more. We recommend after that you allow it to unfold and to develop and evolve in your own life as it does. And should you choose in 3 months, 6 months, a year or two later to have another one, two, or three sessions, please do. The reconnection is a specific process done, as you mentioned, over, you know, on two different days, usually with 1 or 2 days in between, and it is a once-in-a-lifetime procedure. But you see, to get into much more, it's already a lot for, I believe, a radio
interview.
Sure. We'll talk about
sure.
this. We talk about this at the training programs, you know, where we teach this work. Well, I just got back in hours ago, well, maybe about a dozen hours ago, from Costa Rica teaching. Before that, we were in Mumbai and Tokyo and I don't remember where. I get confused after a while.
You've been on the move, haven't you?
Yeah, I'll show up at the airport sometimes and, you know, they'll want to check you through customs. They say, where are you coming from? And I have to think about it. They look at me like I'm a little crazy because it takes me a moment. It takes me a moment. But we teach this work all around the globe, and we're actually coming to Austin to teach this work. We're going to be when did we arrive to do this? I'm looking at my schedule. It looks as if we're going to be teaching the full training program starting on the 19th of this month, Friday night, August 19th. We're going to give a three-hour presentation where we talk about the history of reconnective healing, the theory, the science, the philosophy of it. We'll bring up volunteers from the audience, give live demonstrations of the healing, so you might be able to experience it there or see the reality of it on yourself or in someone that you know. Actually, you will get to experience it there, because towards the end of the presentation, we will also allow each of you to feel this in your hands and to start working with it. But if you want to learn the level one, we have two levels we teach you that. We teach it at a level for self-healing first and for greater familiarity with this work, which will be that Saturday and Sunday, August 20th and the 21st. What we'll do, and you said you're coming to this?
I'm very excited.
Ooh, very
I will
cool.
be there. Yeah.
So then should I tell you a little bit about what you might expect?
I would love that, and I'm sure the listeners would love it too.
So let's say, Melinda, that when you're there, starting Saturday morning, I'll demonstrate a level of work from the stage, and we'll go to massage tables. You might stand at the head of a massage table. Someone else will lie down on the massage table in front of you. The teaching assistants and I will come around, and we will take your hand. We will show you how to find these frequencies, how to work with them, how to play with them, probably how to feel them. And as you do that, you will witness right in front of your very eyes the person lying down on your massage table go into involuntary movements of their fingers, their feet, their arms, their legs, their facial muscles. Then you'll trade places with them so you get to experience that same thing. Then we'll go back to the chairs, talk about what we just learned, discuss more philosophy, more of the scientific studies. Some question and answer. We'll demonstrate new levels of the work. We'll go back to the tables again. We'll continue this way, the 20th and the 21st, that's Saturday and Sunday. Now, that will bring you to a level of mastering self-healing and a great familiarity with this work, which you'll probably be able to use a little bit for the benefit of your immediate circle of friends and families as well. It won't make you a professional. If you're coming to learn this work at a professional level, you'll continue on that Monday and Tuesday, the 22nd and 23rd. Now, learning it on the professional level does not mean you have to become a professional, but isn't it nice if you're going to work with anyone, even if it's just friends and family, to be able to bring it through at that
Absolutely.
Level? So what will happen?
Sure.
Yeah. So what will happen is you'll start. You will be facilitating professional sessions during that time. We will bring in people from the public, and you will work with them under our guidance and supervision. We will teach you how to do this work via distance. So you can work with people anywhere around the world without having to what we think of as being physically present. You'll learn how to do it holographically. We'll teach you levels of subtlety and nuance that seem so quiet, so peaceful, so subtle, and yet you see how they have just the most amazing comprehensive results in not just what the other person experiences, but what we experience. And we'll even teach you the basics of how to start and build and develop your own reconnective healing practice. But here's what I feel fairly sure, pretty certain I can promise you, Melinda, and that will be that by the completion of Tuesday, if you're through all of that with us, that A, you will be able to do anything and everything in an expanded field beyond just energy healing. You'll be able to bring through anything and everything in energy healing, whether you've ever learned the technique, never learned of the technique, or studied the technique, or even heard of it. You'll be able to do anything and everything in this expanded field that any human being anywhere on this planet can do, and anything and everything in this field that I can do. And it doesn't matter if the people that you're thinking of own a church deep in Brazil or were raised by monks in a cave in a mountaintop in Tibet or created 33 energy healing techniques. You'll be able to do anything and everything possible in this expanded field to the degree that we are willing to access the key, which is to transcend our training wheels, to let go of the techniques, kiss them, bless them, thank them, and say, now I want to function in a world of love, observation, and freedom.
I'm excited. I am excited. Oh, goodness. I will ask anyone that would like, that is able to, if you're by a computer and you have any specific questions, to just feel free to pop them into the Q&A. I'm watching the time, and I knew this would go kind of quickly, but we still have about 12 minutes left. So if you have specific questions, please let me know. I do have
a
question.
Let's just remind them. Yeah, but let's just remind the listeners, if you do have questions, please don't make them about specific or personal problems, specific or personal to you or your friends or your family, because I can't give advice. Make them about healing concepts overriding in general, overall.
Right, right.
Okay.
Exactly. Thank
Great.
You for that reminder. So if you have questions about the reconnective healing, the reconnection, something, as Dr. Pearl mentioned, that is kind of a general question, feel free to pop those in. One question that I had from a friend that I thought was an interesting question has to do with this reconnective healing frequency. It's been worked. Humans have had a lot of experience with it. Now you're working with animals more, as I understand it. What about plants, trees, minerals, the earth itself?
Healing is about life, and part of life is for us to recognize life existing in everyone, everything, everywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, it depends on where we have it. I mean, there are people still walking around who think that dogs don't think, for example. So, you know, let's work our way a little bit into that direction because, well, for starters, I mean, as you know, and I know we didn't mention this. Oh, I should mention two things. First of all, if you're not able to come to the Friday night presentation, August 19th, on August 18th, I'm going to be speaking at the sanctuary at the Unity Church of the Hills from 7 to 9 p.m. So I will be there then. But we are doing reconnective healing for pets, and it will be our pilot program for this right there in Austin with a trainer of ours, and I will be involved also, a trainer of ours who is a doctor of veterinary medicine. So will take place the following weekend. That will be starting Friday night, the 26th, and as I believe, it runs through Saturday and Sunday, the 27th, and half of Sunday, the 28th. So that
okay.
will be there. And you can go to thereconnection.com to find out more about it. You have to use the word thereconnection.com. But anyway, there are people who think that dogs don't think. So, you know, how do they even want to do healing with dogs? They don't even, you know, recognize life in them in many levels. I had a dog, raised her as a puppy, a Doberman, and when she was little, she slept in bed with me. When she got too big for the bed, I got her a gorgeous doggy bed, but sometimes she wanted to sleep with me. So she knew I was training her not to. She knew I was training her not to. So she would look up and watch until my eyes were closed. She knew I was asleep. Then she'd try to climb up onto the bed. But I had hardwood floors, and I'd hear her little nails go click, 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 click.
Right.
And I'd open my eyes, I'd look at her, and she'd run back to the bed. So she realized that, and she learned to get up off of the bed and to raise her claws up off the ground so she would only touch the floor with the pads of her feet so she wouldn't wake me. So we think that dogs don't think. Now, a new study came out fairly recently in, I don't know, a magazine, I would say, of the level of Life or Time or Newsweek or something, that showed studies where we now recognize that if you have goldfish or you have pet fish at home, they recognize you. They recognize your face when you walk into a room. It has nothing to do with going for the food. They know you from a stranger. An amoeba is a one-celled animal. An amoeba is a one-celled creature. Do you know if an amoeba is following, is moving in a certain path, and you place a pin in front of it, it will actually separate in half to go around the pin, reunite, and keep going. So, you know, what is alive and what isn't? Before we get into plants, let's understand that animals, to me, are people in fursuits. Life is life and love is love. And we are going to learn that the healing is not that much different, but learning how to approach and interact with animals is really cool. We're hoping to have dogs, cats, maybe a pot-bellied pig, maybe a Shetland pony, some other kinds of animals we'll be bringing. So contact us if you're interested, or you can register for the Reconnective Animals thing, which is the following weekend. As I said, Reconnective Healing is 19-20-21. Reconnective Animals is the 26th, 27th, and half of the 28th. But plants, well, sort of. It's interesting. I could be the wrong person to ask because I travel. Look, plants are life, and healing works in them. But for me, I travel so much that by the time I get home, my plants see me. They all huddle together, and then once brave spokesplant steps forward, when they see me coming with the watering can, they say, please don't. those times simply allow us to die.
Oh.
For the rest of you, reconnective healing will work beautifully for your plants.
Great. And one thing that I thought about as I was contemplating this question is water. Water has such a capacity to hold energetic frequency. Dr. Emoto's incredible work that he did. I just thought, wow, maybe this is a way to heal the waters of the earth, which, of course, would help Mother Earth.
Very funny you say that, because when I was in Tokyo, which was probably, it was in the first, second week of July, I visited with Dr. Emoto's son, because Dr. Emoto, passed away. And while we were there, right after we left, he sent me something, which I had already had, but I'm glad he sent it to me, because I didn't really remember how to put my fingers on it. He sent us something. Dr. Emoto was a very funny person, had an interesting sense of humor. And I went and met with him there at his invitation. We sat down.
Wonderful.
A few of us at a round table, and he took out a glass of water, and he placed it in the center of the table. He said, "Let's see what the reconnective healing frequencies does with the water." I said, "All right, sure." So I brought the reconnective healing frequencies around the glass of water, and then he took it into his laboratory and did whatever he did on it. And whenever later he got his results back, he sent me just absolutely beautiful water crystal formations. They were incredible. And I thought, isn't that wonderful? We've seen this before.
Yeah.
He said, "No, you didn't see this before." I said, "What do you mean? I've seen your crystals." He said, "You don't understand. This was Tokyo tap water. The studies that Emoto does, generally speaking, are with distilled water." He said, "Unless he's trying to look for a change in diseased water," he said, "he does it with distilled water." He said, "because Tokyo tap water is a little too polluted in a sense and doesn't form crystals. And you not only created reconnective healing, not only created crystals, but the most fascinating crystals, because it created a crystal giving birth to another crystal, giving birth to another crystal, giving birth to another crystal." And that was kind of a new thing. So he just sent me those. It's very strange. You just asked. It's so interesting. You asked me that question, because this was, he just sent it to me maybe 2 weeks ago.
Wow. How amazing. So I've got a couple of
practical.
We're
going to teach you how to do that.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry, practical questions.
Oh, that's okay. Got a couple practical questions. So someone is asking, how do they find a practitioner in their area?
Oh, that's so easy. Go to thereconnection.com. Go to the website. Go to thereconnection.com and look for who is listed in our directory of practitioners. Now, if this hasn't, I don't know if this has already taken place or if it's about to, but our directory of practitioners will only list what we call foundational practitioners. Foundational practitioners are the only ones recognized by us as professional. People have been taking our training programs for many, many years, but only about since 2014 do we have the new expanded advanced program, the professional or the foundational reconnective healing program, which is what we are bringing to Austin. So people who have not taken that certainly will play with reconnective healing. But if you want this at its highest level, there are two things you want to look at. One, make sure the practitioner is on our directory, because that assures you should assure you that they are foundational level reconnective healing practitioners. And secondly, do Google them up. I suggest you Google them up and make sure that they have let go of their training wheels of technique. Make sure they're not doing Reiki or Qigong on Thursday and something else on Friday and reconnective healing on Tuesday, because then it means that they're, half the time they have the training wheels on their bicycle and half the time off. And part of what reconnective healing is about is to give them the experience that, well, Melinda, that you had, learning how to ride the bicycle and letting go of the training wheels.
Yes. And the Austin event information can also be found at the Reconnection, because I actually had it up and was viewing it earlier today. So it also lists the upcoming training events in other locations, which really are occurring worldwide now. So do take advantage of the opportunity to learn about all of the various training options. And I would certainly recommend to anyone who is listening and is curious, if you're unable to attend a training immediately, at least start by reading Dr. Pearl's book, The Reconnection, because that really gives you a lot of good information and the story of how this came to be. And the book itself has an energetic frequency and a vibration, and it'll open the door. Am I stepping out of line by saying that, Dr. Pearl?
I think you're absolutely perfectly accurate on this. You know, we are we're doing Reconnective Healings, as you said. I'm on the road about 35, 40 weeks a year. So not only Austin, but I think this year we still have one in Basel, Switzerland, in Belgrade, in Serbia, in Sao Paulo, in October, which would be Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Brazil.
Drew a blank. We're going to be doing Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, and we're also going to be doing Mumbai in India.
Wow.
So those are the ones that are scheduled upcoming this year. So as we said, Austin is in August. Basel is in October. Belgrade is October. Sao Paulo is November. And Dubai is December.
Lots of traveling in your near future, and lots of opportunity for people to learn this amazing and beautiful and much needed process. So I'm looking at the clock. We did it.
It's
it
that
went
time.
Fast.
I know.
It went fast, and I appreciate so much you being with us today, Dr. Pearl. I know you're really busy and your time is valuable, and I know how committed you are to sharing the information about this incredible work and this opportunity for people worldwide to learn this process, or I'm calling it a process. I'm not sure what else to call it.
Really sure what to call it. I don't call it technique because it's not.
Right.
It's a way to remove
technique. It's not.
You know, I call it a healing approach because that's the best word I've come up with.
That makes perfect sense. So, listeners, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate your time. And, Dr. Pearl, thank you. I am so appreciative and so looking forward to meeting you in person in the next couple of weeks.
Well,
actually,
thank
next
you.
Week.
I'm looking forward to meeting you, too. Yeah, it'll just be next
yeah.
week.
Yeah, right around
cool.
the corner. So, right. Everyone, enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you all. Dr. Pearl, thank you. Bye-bye
thank
for now.
You. Bye-bye.